I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Last time I was sharing with you, it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And I remember we went through what it means to be a servant of God and who is a servant of God. You know, you guys, why don't you come and sit right here? Somehow that thing is too long and you feels like you're outside the church. Yeah, right there is okay. All right, amen. So we were talking about different people who were servants of God. Amen. How that traditionally we say people are servants of God when they have an official religious title, isn't it? Like pastors, like prophets, evangelists, apostles, teachers, and so on. We call them servants of the Lord. You know, and you see someone who is dressed in a certain way, wearing his collar, priestly collar, at least you try to be nice to him because you feel like you're dealing with a servant of God. You know, sometimes when I'm at the airport, I see priests who are traveling and they're wearing their priestly clothes, you know, and I see that they get treated that for those who fear God. So those who work at the airport and who fear God, hey, Wagwan. Pastor Paul says you're blocking his view. Okay. I have a feeling you wanted to close the gap anyway. So Pastor Paul just blew some small air and then you're gone. All right. So I see these guys go through the airport and I see that among the airport staff, those who fear God, they tend to have respect for these priests. And, you know, they're careful with how they handle him or handle them, you know. Now, if only they knew that there are more people who are servants of God than people who are official priests dressed like priests. Do you see? I am sure there are a lot of servants of God who have been mishandled. See, Hyacinth is here tonight from Georgetown, Guyana, you know. And she works at the airport. Do you still work at the airport? Yes. And sometimes when I've been there, she sees me off all the way up to the gate of the plane, you know, right. You see, and they don't know, Hyacinth, you and your team don't know that there are more people who are servants of God than people who show up as priests. Are you getting it? So that's what we're studying, and we see that, yes, the priests and the Levites were the servants of God, and so were the prophets. But then, some of the famous people in the Bible, people that we know about, people who walked with God, people who have become role models for us, who have become mentors for us, people that we study a lot about, you know, like Abraham, like Isaac, like Jacob, you know. These were ordinary people who were also servants of God. Hallelujah. Now that means that you don't have to wait till you become a priest. And I'm saying wait because I'm praying that one day you become a priest too. But even if you never made it into the priesthood, you can still be a servant of God. Do you understand? Don't cheat yourself out of that role. And don't cheat yourself out of bearing that title, a servant of God. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Diana, you are a servant of God. And it should be a title you must be proud of. And you must labor, you know, to fit properly under that title. It should be more important to you than even to be a doctor. Do you see what I'm saying? Because it's more important to be a servant of God than to be a doctor. Hallelujah. Many servants of God are used by God to do many things that doctors cannot do. Is it not true? Many times when doctors are through and through and they are finished, then God uses one of his servants to do what the doctors could not do. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's a higher title and a higher place to be called Diana, servant of God. Next time you're sending me a text message, you should introduce yourself, Diana, a servant of God. You should send me one tonight. Hallelujah. See, Apostle Paul, he always introduced himself. Paul, a servant of the Most High, servant of God. It is a very important title and you should be proud of it. Amen. You should be glad that God considers you among his servants. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Look at it. Jacob was a businessman. Isaac was a businessman. Abraham was a businessman. These people didn't spend their days in temples. Do you see? They spent their days discussing issues about, you know, cattle, trading, selling, you know, checking, you know, why these ones have not given birth and this breed is more, you know, this breed reproduces faster than that breed, you know, and there's a new disease called foot and cow disease. And you know how to manage it, and you know, this is where can we buy feed and where is the grass greener? I mean, these are the, they had maps and so on, studying maps to know where the cattle should go and so on, and how to prosper and do business. That's what these people were doing. They were not people who were in the temple before the Lord every day, but they were servants of God. Are you understanding me? Moses was a servant of God. David the king was a servant of God. Zerubbabel, who was a secular governor of Judah, he was also a servant of God. Job was a businessman. He was also a servant of God. Do you see? Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar is also described as a servant of God. So why not you? Why not Mega? Why can't we say Mega, the servant of God? Hallelujah. Amen. See yourself, think of yourself as a servant of God. Tina, you need to think of yourself as a servant of God. What do you think? Yes, it's not a Sunday affair. I'm talking about on Monday and Tuesday, you know, and Thursday. You see, odd days, odd in the sense that you don't go to church or do anything church, but you see and consider yourself as a servant of God. Hallelujah. And it will be a great blessing for you. Hallelujah. Because it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Now I'm continuing. Now, it is a great thing to serve the Lord because seeking the Lord first is the master key in Matthew 6:33. Hallelujah. Seeking the Lord first. Amen. Amen. Today I somebody sent me a testimony that I was sharing with some people today about one of the actresses in the movie Black Panther, right? And what was she saying? She said she sought the Lord first, isn't it? She said she decided to put acting aside. And you know, I loved it when I read that she said the only reason why she was doing that was because she loved acting and she felt that she had begun to idolize it. Do you see? It had started to become too important to her, I mean. And so she decided, you know something, I'm losing more. My relationship with God is slipping away. You see, I'm drawing further and further away from God and probably getting closer and closer to this acting thing. You know, probably willing to make more sacrifices, willing to travel, you know, further distances and do greater things for the sake of acting, you know, which she probably wouldn't do for the sake of her relationship with God. Do you see? And so she decided that, no, I'm just going to put acting aside. And in her own words, when she did that, then she landed actually the biggest role of her lifetime. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, and now everybody knows her. You see, except those of us who haven't seen the movie. I don't know. So I was just reading the thing. Who is this girl? I don't even know who she is, but it looks like someone important. Hallelujah. So it is important. Being a servant of someone is to seek to serve the person's interests rather than your own interests. Hallelujah. To do what the person wants. The status of becoming a servant of God is an important status to acquire, and that makes you seek what God wants rather than what you want for yourself. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It says to seek God's interest is to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. To seek His kingdom and His righteousness. And to serve someone also means to serve and to promote and push the person's interests. That is what it means to serve someone. Are you getting it? These days you have servants who claim to serve someone but push their own interests. Do you see? Yeah. The other day I heard Bishop talking about some people who keep shops for people. It's like you employ someone to run your shop, you know. And then when you come back, the person tells you they haven't sold much. When in actual fact, what has been happening is that as the person is selling the things in your store, the person goes to buy those same things from another place and replace them in your store. Do you understand? So it's like the person has her own business. She's running her shop from your shop. Okay, you have the bills, you have the overheads, and you have all the things. So let's say you're selling Coca-Cola, all right? If you're selling Coca-Cola, you come back and you see that your 10 bottles of Coca-Cola still remain on the shelf. You see, and it looks like no one has bought anything, not knowing that as the bottles were being sold, you see, the person was replacing them with her own bottles that she has bought. So at the end of the day, the person is running her own shop out of your shop. Do you see? Serving her own interest instead of serving your interest. Promoting herself instead of promoting you. Instead of pushing you up, they are pushing themselves up right from underneath you. Are you understanding it? Yeah. And that is a very important thing that we must note about serving the Lord. If we say we are servants of God, then it must be that our primary occupation is to promote and to push His interests. If it concerns God, you're in. If it concerns God, it is of interest to you. If it has to do with God, then it has to do with you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? To serve someone also is means to be useful and to be of service to the person. Amen. Then to serve someone is also to be obedient to his wishes. So serving God is also about obedience. Amen. If you want to be or call yourself a servant of God, then you must obey God. You can't call yourself a servant of God and when God speaks, you don't obey. Jesus said one day, why call me Lord, 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 and do not as I say? Do you see? Why do you call me Lord, 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 but you don't do as I say? That Lord ought to mean something. Then why don't you just call me Jesus or just call some me by some other name? But why do you keep referring to me as Lord, 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 but you don't do what I say? Are you getting it? You don't do what I say. Yes, my Lord, but you don't do what I say. So what is the point? Hallelujah. Obedience is very important. And as we grow up in the Lord, the more important obedience becomes. Because as you grow up in the Lord, you find that our sins are no longer the common sins of younger Christians. Do you see? The sins of fornication, drunkenness, adultery, stealing, you know. Most people, after a few years in the Lord, are able to overcome these things by the grace of God. Do you understand? Yeah. So then as you grow up in the Lord, the nature of your sins change. You know, like I give you the example of children and adults. As we grow up, you see that we get dirty in a different way or in different places. Is that true or false? Is it not true? When you're a child, your dirt is obvious. When I was a kid, my shirts always got dirty right here. Right here. You would see it and it was obvious because it was food stains and other kinds of stains because everything I got, I carried them like that. You see, if I picked something from the floor, I just brought it straight to my chest. You see, so you just see a child is usually dirty around here. Now, grown-ups are not dirty around here at all, isn't it? But in hidden places. Do you understand? And the dirt in grown-ups' hidden place, like the back of your shirt that no one can see. Hey, it's black hole, but no one can see. Do you see? It's black. I mean, the shirt looks white. And you are called the man in the white shirt. And everyone says, oh, that's the man in the white shirt. But I tell you, that white shirt needs urgent attention. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. Urgently needs to be washed. Yeah. And sometimes the shirt is white and it looks harmless. Hey, if it is thrown on you, I tell you, if you were dead, yet shall you live. Though you were dead, yet shall you live. You will arise. So you see that sometimes some of the little children's dirty clothes is actually preferred. And to be preferred, okay, what are those stains? Just chocolate stains and, you know, sometimes milk stains and, you know, it's just mostly food. Do you see? Things that don't hurt anyone and things that don't raise the dead. Do you get it? But sometimes when one time I sat on a plane, this fellow came to sit by me. I said, Lord. You know, and I was sitting like that the whole time. Hey. And then at a point, the person decided to sleep. So he brought the tray table, yes? And then he just did that. Wow. And as he just expressed himself like that, the winds were blowing in the corner. And I had a window seat. And there was no escape. Oh my Lord. It was not easy for me. He said, this guy, you need more than a shower. You need to go through a car wash. This person needs to go through a car wash. He needs one of those, you know, the strong jet spray thing needs to be go on this person, you know. But they were feeling free, you see. So don't be deceived by invisible debt or visible debt for that matter. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That as we grow up in the Lord, what amounts to sin starts to change, and we become sinful and very dirty in very different ways. And one of the important ways to watch out for is obedience. Do you understand? That you don't do it. You know the scripture, but you don't do it. There are many mature Christians who don't do very basic things in the word. Mature Christians who don't forgive. Mature Christians who don't pay their tithes. It's very common. Today somebody was sending something around and the person was talking about tithes. And the person had pictures of pastors, you know, like pastors, you know, pastors in a plane and, you know, things like that. And the person had pictures of people in like on a bus or something like that. And he said that these are the tithers and these are the ones who receive the tithe. You know, you know, are you spreading something like that around? Isn't it? It's like taking a photograph of Donald Trump going up on Air Force One and saying these are the taxpayers and these are the ones who receive the taxes. It's just stupid. You see, but you see, and it's mature Christians who do those type of, new converts don't do these things. There is no new convert who's going to sit down and start clipping newspapers and, you know, getting things and making things like that. No new convert does that. But mature Christians are the ones who try to find excuses and reasons, because at a point, you see, we begin to get used to the word of God. That we don't respect it anymore. We don't read our Bibles anymore. We don't pray anymore. All the things that we have been taught as baby Christians, we have grown up and set them aside and seem to believe in something else rather than the basic things. And that is why some people laugh at us even as we try to stick to the very things we have known right from the beginning. Read your Bible, pray every day, you know, evangelism, witnessing. And some people say these are basic things. It's like, where's the anointing? We're looking for big things. You see the thing? And you guys are talking about read your Bible, pray every day. You know, Bishop has a new book, read your Bible, pray every day. It's like, what book is this? Read your Bible, pray every day. You know, it's like these are basic things. You should be writing about deep things. The third heavens, yeah. You get it. Deep things like that. Hallelujah. So if you want to serve someone, you must be obedient to the person's wishes. Amen. Now, according to Matthew 6:33, seeking God is the one thing that will cause all other things to be added to your life. Hallelujah. Look at it. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Well, let's read from verse 25. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Now, how many of you believe that what we are reading is literal? I mean, raise up your hand if you believe it. that it is really as he's talking about. He's not talking, when he says, or yet for your body, he's not talking about a spiritual body. Do you believe he's talking about this body that you have?
Yes.
Right? What about for your life? For your life? Or is it eternal life? Huh? Do we have to go into some Greek and Hebrew to understand these things? Huh? He says, what ye shall put on, what ye shall drink, what ye shall eat. God is interested in what we drink. God is interested in what we eat. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, if you've been listening to God, you might not eat some of the things you eat. Right from Genesis, God started showing people what not to eat so they can live. Is it not true? When God was trying to prolong people's lives, he showed them what not to eat. Of all the things, he didn't say don't go riding on animals, and so even though you can die from that. You can die from trying to ride a cow. Do you see what I'm saying? But God didn't say they shouldn't do that. But rather he said, you know, I want you guys to live for a long time. And in order to live for a long time, there's something you must avoid. Don't eat. Eat everything but this. So you shouldn't be surprised if you get some prompting of the Holy Spirit, don't eat this. Do you understand? Don't eat this. Sometimes it's something you eat all the time. But this particular time, God says, don't eat it. Do you understand? Don't eat it. You should expect the Holy Spirit. But you see, sometimes even when we pray over food, we are not even listening to the Holy Spirit. Blessed, 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 blessed. You make three crosses, one on the left. You know, Jesus and two thieves. Why do you want to make Jesus and two thieves over your foot? God bless the farmer, the cooker, and the eater. You know, and the three. So which of the three crosses is you, the eater? You get it. But if you will pray a meaningful prayer, you might be surprised that the Holy Spirit will tell you, don't eat this. This is not good for you. The Holy Spirit will tell you, enough. You're drinking a whole big can of Coke or some, you know, cup of Coke from the supersized McDonald's. You see the thing? Yeah. And you will be drinking and you see the Holy Spirit will tell you it's enough. Yeah, it's enough. It's like you drink it up to a point and he gives you a nudge. It's enough. Do you understand? God is interested in what you're eating. Are you getting it? And the Bible says, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, nor for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? You see, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? See, this is what we don't believe. That really, all our thinking and planning cannot change much. Do you see? It cannot change much. There was one guy who prospered so much in the Bible, and the Bible says that he decided to make a plan to restructure things in his life, adjust his barns and make bigger ones, expand them, and so on and so forth. And the Bible says Jesus came, the Lord came to him that night and said, thou fool. He said, you are a fool. You are a fool because you are planning for something you don't control. He said, you are trying to plan because the guy said, I am going to say to my soul after that. He said, after I've pulled my barns down and when I build new ones, then the next step is I am going to say to my soul that soul, you have goods laid up for many years. See, this is the thing that God didn't understand. Why is this man saying that he has many years when he does not control it? When he cannot control, he can't add one tiny little bit to his life. It takes one wrong step for someone who has been climbing up, up, up to come down all of a sudden. Do you understand? Yeah, only one wrong step makes people fall from very great heights. Just one wrong step. They have taken many, many careful, positive steps that have taken them up. Then they miss one step. And when you miss that one step, it doesn't matter how many right steps you have taken. And they come tumbling down just to the same level as the person who took no step. And worse, because then now they are injured. Do you see what I'm saying? So Jesus is trying to show us that you shouldn't have so much faith in yourself and in your plans and in your ideas and in what you can do. Hallelujah. In the book of James, we are taught that the right way to speak is to say, if God wills. The right way to speak is to say, by the grace of God. Is to acknowledge God that if God allows it, if God permits it, you know, because if God doesn't permit it, though, no matter how imminent and real it looks, you'll be surprised that you never touch it. Do you understand? Yes, you'll be surprised that you never enter it. You never touch it. You just go so close to it, but you never actually step into it. One time, there was a prophet who prophesied and said that things were going to change in Israel. And then there was this man, one of the king's advisors, who opened his mouth and spoke recklessly. You know, there are some people who just like to rubbish things that prophets and men of God say. They just make nonsense of it. Do you understand? So when the man of God said, tomorrow by this time, everything will change. The economy will change. He looked like an idiot. Like, economies don't change overnight. You see, prices don't fall overnight. Inflation does not disappear overnight. So who is this prophet? These prophets, they don't go to school. They just go sit in the temple and they just talk and just speak. And this is like, speak like idiots. Not knowing that he is the idiot. So the prophet prophesied and said, tomorrow you will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat. You will not taste of it. And a sequence of events unfolded, you know, which eventually led to the fulfillment of that prophecy. That by the next day, about that time, things had changed in the economy. Then now there was some stampede somewhere. And that man happened to be there, and the people ran over him, and he died. He came so close to it, but he couldn't enter it. Look, let's believe these scriptures because they apply now or never to our lives. Amen. They apply now or never to our lives. How come we have applied the scriptures about salvation so easily to our lives and we believe we are saved? Why can't we apply these scriptures also that your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things? He says, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Hallelujah. It is interesting that when it comes to your needs, God is referred to as your heavenly Father. Because fathers are for meeting needs. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That he is not called God in this place. It's not saying that for the Lord thy God knoweth that thou needeth all these things. But he says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Hallelujah. All these fathers here know what their kids need. Hallelujah. They know it. And they know and have a plan and have a way and have an intention to provide it for them. To provide it for them. A lot of things you don't even have to ask. Often even the more important things you don't have to ask. The things you ask for are usually the trivial things. It's true. Do you understand? The bigger things that you need are provided for you without you even asking. It's the small things that you end up asking for. Hallelujah. So he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Now, I don't imagine that these things will be added unto us in heaven. Do you think it is heaven? Do you think God is talking about adding clothes you wear in heaven? Adding what you shall eat in heaven. What you shall put on in heaven. This is not about heaven. It's about earth. It's about earth. It's about earth right here. Hallelujah. We need to cultivate the habit of trusting God for every detail of our lives. God first. Amen. When the need shows up, think God first. Think about God. Pray about it. I mean, how dare you complain about something you've not even prayed about? Can you imagine going to a restaurant and just going there, taking a seat and sitting there for a while, then suddenly calling one of the waiters and starting to complain? Complain about how you're hungry and there's no food. And there's nothing here, and you've been sitting here for about 2 hours now, and you haven't eaten, and what is going on here in this restaurant? You know, are you guys serious about serving food? Is there any food in this building at all? You know, and you're complaining, is it because I'm black? If I was white, would I have eaten by now? You know, and you never even placed an order. See, a lot of people go to Starbucks and just go sit down with their Wi-Fi and just do. So you arrive in the place and you are sitting there looking at your thing, and then after 2 hours, you say, can I see the manager, please? You call for the manager, and then you know something? I just want to give you my peace of mind. At least before I leave here, I just want you to know what I really think. I've been sitting here for 2 hours. And I'm hungry and no one has noticed. You have people who are complaining about things they have never prayed about. You don't have a right to complain about anything if you have never prayed about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't have a right to complain about anything if you haven't even prayed about it. You haven't spoken to God about it. You don't have a right to complain about it. Hallelujah. Amen. If it's important to you, pray about it. But God is telling us that if we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, seek first His kingdom and seek His righteousness, and He says, all these things will be added unto you. Amen. So I'm not surprised that some of these pastors and so on, that the person was, you know, circulating the past. I'm not surprised that they are prosperous and blessed. That the God said He would add things. He would add. God did say that. So if somebody makes it his life's aim to seek only the kingdom of God, puts everything aside and just says, I don't care about anything. I'm only going to live for the kingdom of God. My work is church work. I'm going to build the church, build the house of God. I mean, are you surprised that if someone goes all out for God, that God will also go all out for him? I mean, why should that surprise you? Amen. So instead of criticizing them, why don't you shut up and find a way of joining them? Find a way of seeking the kingdom also, so that whatever has to be added to you also will be added to you. God doesn't have a shortage of resources. Do you understand? One person's blessing does not deprive you of your own. Hallelujah. God's blessings are not like that. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you tonight? So it is so important for us to seek first His kingdom and to understand that seeking His kingdom is the master key. It's the master key. It is the key to having all these things added unto you. Can I have an amen? Amen. So if it's true, why am I struggling a little bit? Well, all children struggle a little bit also. Is it not true? Yeah. It's bad parenting to say yes all the time to your child. That's true. You're just going to raise a bunch of irresponsible children who don't know anything, who don't know how to do anything. Because they always got a yes for an answer. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. God wants His children also to know, to be mature enough, to be balanced, to know sometimes even how it feels to be in a certain situation. Are you getting it? How it feels to be in a certain situation. One time God was telling His people, He said, "You people have been strangers before. I want you to be careful how you treat foreigners." Then He told them, "You remember what it means to be a foreigner. Because you yourselves were strangers. You were aliens. You were immigrants in somebody's country. You remember that?" And He said, "Because of that, I want you to be careful with immigrants into your own country." But if they hadn't gone through that experience, they wouldn't even know what it is like, what the feelings of a stranger are, and what it means or how it feels to be among a people where you are the minority. You will not even understand it. You just make a lot of assumptions. And you think that everybody is happy, and you don't know that actually someone is unhappy. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So there are so many reasons for that, which we cannot. The book, Losing, Sacrificing. Losing, Suffering, Sacrificing, and Dying is a great book that explains all of these. Amen. And you should read it to understand why things can be the way they are. Hallelujah. But even then, after that, the Bible says God will establish you after you have suffered a while. Isn't it? See how sometimes little children are left to cry a little bit. Isn't it? Yeah, who has seen that before? You just leave her to cry a little bit. Yeah, and she cry a little. And after she has suffered a while, you cut her hair and then just pat her. You know, sometimes even the patting is a little bit of spanking. It's like you're being patted and comforted, but you're just being smacked a little bit. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, before I close, there's another guy we need to look at. His name is Uzziah. Seeking the Lord first was the master key to King Uzziah's prosperity. Okay, it was his master key to his prosperity. King Uzziah is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And this King Uzziah, he came to the throne when he was only 16 years old. He was a teenager. And he reigned for a long time. 52 years, right? And he's supposed to be one of the most outstanding kings, you know, who ever reigned over Israel. Okay. Now, one of the things King Uzziah did was to seek the Lord. Now, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah. Zechariah was the prophet of the time, right? And he encouraged King Uzziah to seek the Lord. Hallelujah. He encouraged King Uzziah to seek the Lord, because for everyone, God gives someone who will urge you and encourage you to seek the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Everyone, God gives everyone someone by whom they can become great, established, stronger in the Lord. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where is it chapter 3 or chapter 6, where some people were arguing and saying that I am of Paul, and then says the other person said, I am of Apollos, you know. And then Paul came and said, what are you talking about? But Paul gives a revelation there, because through that revelation we are able to understand what people are to us. And Paul explained that. He said, who is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, as the Lord our God gives to every man. Hallelujah. Right? Verse 6. Look at verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave them. What's in verse 5? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Hallelujah. So God gives everyone someone by whom they can believe, by whom they can develop in him, by whom they can become strong in him. That is why when God gives you someone like that, you shouldn't dodge the person. Do you understand? You shouldn't dodge the person. You shouldn't play games with the person. You shouldn't disappear on the person. God gives someone. Probably means it's time to close. You know, they set me up with enough battery time just to last as long as they want to listen to the message. Do you understand? I promise I'm just finishing. Right? But God gives to every man. Can you see? As the Lord gave to every man. God gave to every man someone by whom they believe. So there are some of you, God has given me to you. Yeah. That is why the only reason why I come here to preach. Do you understand? Yeah. And it's just so you become strong. It's not only in me preaching to you. It's also me showing you a video. It's also me organizing a prayer meeting for you to attend. It's also me saying this Saturday we're going for outreach over here. It is that person in your life who is doing different things that all work together to establish you in the faith and to make you someone substantial in Christ. Can I have an amen? Are you getting the picture? Yeah. So when God gives you someone, you must not run away. You must not play hide and seek and you dodge. And today you are here and tomorrow you are not there. It's not a good way to relate with the person that God has given to you. What do you think? Yeah. Your behavior shows that you don't believe God has given me to you. Ask your neighbor, do you really believe? What did they say? So anyway, King Uzziah had Zechariah, and Zechariah urged King Uzziah to seek the Lord, right? And the Bible says he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. Can you see that? Yeah, that Zechariah understood the word. Zechariah understood the visions. So he was the one explaining the things. Do you get it? Yeah. And then King Uzziah just following as Zechariah was teaching him. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Hallelujah. That is going to be your testimony. And that is going to be your story. I said, that is going to be your testimony. And that will be your story. That will be your testimony. That as long as you seek the Lord, God will make you prosper. I have served the Lord for some years. And I have observed that, yes, there have been some people I have seen who served the Lord. And the way their lives sort of have turned out raises questions even in my mind. Do you understand? But one day when I was questioning and wondering, I felt the Holy Spirit asking me, is there anyone who obeyed me more than Jesus Christ? Do you understand? Is there anyone who obeyed me more than Jesus Christ? That's obeyed God more than his only begotten son, who even gave his life. Do you understand? And he said, look at what happened to him. So he was explaining to me how that he can decide how it should be with a particular servant for his own purposes. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I cannot just come up with a stereotype and say, because I see, I've seen a lot of people. But what I was trying to say is that majority of the time, you see, and majority of the people I know who have served the Lord faithfully through the years, when you look carefully at their lives, you see that, look, it's been well with these people. Yes, relatively, it's been well. I'm saying that you have a few people who sort of raise questions in your mind. Because you know them, you know how they serve God, you know they're good people and they've sacrificed so many things and so on. How come they went through a divorce, or how come they died early, or how come they became sick or something like that? You know, and I'm saying that the fact that you don't have an answer to that question, you know, does not mean that God is not faithful. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because even his own son, the Bible says, he who knew no sin, you know, and the Bible says he became obedient even to the cross, obedient all the way, even when they said die, he didn't run away from dying. Do you follow what I'm saying? The ultimate in obedience. So I may say that I know brother so-and-so, and even that, it's, you see, how much do I know brother so-and-so? How much do I know him? What do I know what is in his heart? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. I feel that, oh, this person is a good person and so, but maybe God sees something else. I don't know. But even with the purest of hearts, their obedience will never rise up to the obedience of Christ. Does it make sense to you? Yes. And the Lord was showing me that, look at my son, Jesus Christ. He was perfect. He knew no sin. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything outside my will. But I let him go through what he went through. And that was for my purpose. Do you understand? Today, are you not glad that Jesus died for you? Yeah, it's because you are not his brother. Are you getting it? Yeah, because you are not his brother. And you are not his mother. You see? That's why you can be glad, because you got your salvation out of that. You see, in the same way, we may not know why certain things have happened or why certain things happen to good people, but one day when we meet him, you see, make a note on your iPad to ask him. You get it? Just make a note on your iPad. Lord, I really want to know why this happened to this person or that person. But I'm just saying that as long as you seek the Lord, God has promised that it shall be well with you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. If it is not well with you, It is the exception. And if it's the exception, you should know that God has a very high purpose. The purpose of God in allowing Christ to die was something that the Bible said that wisdom was too high that the princes of this world could not know it. And he said that if they had known it, they would not have crucified Jesus Christ. So it was a very high level wisdom, so high, you know, and so hidden that God is saying that those who killed Jesus Christ, if they had a glimpse into that wisdom, they would have canceled that operation. Yeah, they would have set him free. They would have said, Barabbas, come back. Yeah, they would have said, Barabbas, come back to jail. You know, and Barabbas will be on a plane getting ready to escape, to go somewhere where people won't come to, to go somewhere maybe to Ghana or something, go and travel, arrive in Accra and travel to Kumasi, someplace there. You know, Barabbas just trying to hide, but he would have come back. But he didn't know. So it's a very high level of wisdom. And of course, you may not always understand it because it's very high wisdom. But when you seek the Lord, the Bible says God makes you prosper. God makes you do well. Hallelujah. So seek the Lord. Tell somebody, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. See, he prospered, right? Then look at the next thing that happened to Uzziah. As long as King Uzziah sought the Lord, people gave gifts to him. Look at verse 8. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 8. It says, and the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt. Amen. People gave what? Gifts to Uzziah. Expect to receive some gifts. As long as you serve the Lord properly, as you seek God, expect to receive some gifts. I said, expect to receive some gifts. Expect to receive some gifts. Yes. Expect to receive. People who serve the Lord commonly receive gifts. Yeah. They receive gifts. You wonder, why is this person even thinking about me? Why is this person even trying to give me such a gift? Do you understand? You even receive gifts that you don't need. The person who gives you the gift needs it more than you do, but the person still gives it to you. You understand? That's what people can't relate with. That's why the guy made the picture today. I tell you, you should have seen the picture. The people, there was a crowded, you know, public bus. And then the person had labeled it tithe payers. And then there was a pastor standing by a jet. And said, this is the receiver of the tithes. You know. Yeah. You see. But you'll be surprised that as these people who even say they don't have, you find that they rather want to give a gift. Do you understand? Yeah. The Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon. Solomon had been seeking the Lord. You remember how Solomon went to pray to the Lord? And Solomon said, Lord, I don't want money. I don't want any of these things. I just want you to give me wisdom to know how to look after your people. Why don't you pray that prayer? Solomon told God that, look, Lord, I'm a young man. I don't have a lot of wisdom, you see, and I don't know all these things. But I just want you to give me wisdom. And the wisdom, he said, not wisdom to make money. Not wisdom to do business. Not wisdom to outsmart my enemies. I just want wisdom to know how to lead your people. And the Bible says this saying, talking like this, please God greatly. That's what it means. This saying, please the Lord. When you talk like that, you please God. It's when you put his people, his work first, you please God. Do you understand? And he said that God said to him, because of that, the wisdom is given to you. Now I'm going to add the things you didn't ask for. Remember, if you seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, he said he will add all these things to you. So he said, now I've given you also what you didn't ask for. You didn't ask me. He said, I was expecting that you would ask like all young men of your age ask for. Money, you know, girls, you know, cars, and then the life of your enemies. You know, people like to, you know, finish off their enemies. Always just add the enemies at the end. Yes. Even today when we are leaving this place, we have to bind some devils before we leave. Always end your prayer with binding devils. Deal with enemies. Yeah. God himself told Solomon, I'm surprised you didn't even mention your enemies. You know. So now, what you didn't ask for, I'm going to add. So Solomon became so wealthy. So wealthy. Then the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon. The Bible says when she got to Solomon's house and looked at his surroundings and everything, the Bible said there was no spirit left in her. She was shocked, blown away. Do you see the thing? And yet she rather, who has been blown away, now brings more gifts to come and add to the one who doesn't need it. See, people don't read their Bibles. That's why they make those sketches and send them on. It actually might be more helpful to take a shorter time to read your Bible than to draw those things. Do you understand? Yeah. Because you have to question that. Why is this woman bringing money to come and add to Solomon, who obviously doesn't need it? But when you seek the Lord, God will add things to you. As long as he sought the Lord, the Ammonites gave gifts to him. Hallelujah. Receive gifts in the name of Jesus. May God give you favor for gifts, 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 precious gifts. Things that you cannot buy yourself. Things you will never even buy. You will never take money to buy something like that for yourself. But God will let you have it. Hallelujah. Amen. And the next thing that happened to Uzziah as he sought the Lord was that his name spread abroad. He became famous. You see, he says his name spread abroad even unto the entering in of Egypt. He became famous. Hallelujah. As you seek the Lord, you become famous. People will get to know you. Hallelujah. People will come to know you. Even you don't want to be famous, you find that people will know you. People will be looking for you. Hallelujah. Yes. If you seek the Lord genuinely, not seeking fame. Some people seek fame in the name of seeking the Lord. It's fake seeking the Lord. Do you understand? Yeah. And you'll be famous for something else. You'll be famous for your fakery. That's what will happen. Hallelujah. But when people seek the Lord, I saw one little interview clip of Billy Graham, and he was saying that, look, I wish my name was not even attached to any of these things. Did you see it? Saying, I wish there was a way of advertising all these crusades without my name for it to work. Do you understand? Yeah, because it's not about me. I'm not trying to be known. I'm not trying to be known. Exactly what he's trying not to do is what he ends up doing. Do you understand? Yeah, that the more he reduces and diminishes himself and becomes nothing, the greater he becomes. A few weeks ago, I saw the funeral of one Catholic father, Father Peter, who had been like a father for us. When we came to New York, and we had this church, it was just a small church in New York, you know, Father Peter took us like his little kids, you know, and he looked after us. He gave us their church to meet their school, and he protected us. I mean, the city, nobody in the city could bully us. You know, right midtown Manhattan, on the street where nobody was allowed to park, they gave me a parking permit signed by Father Peter himself. And I put my car there. Yeah, I could put my car right there. Yeah, at watch night service, nobody was allowed to drive to that place. But I was allowed to drive right in front of the church, and I'll put the car right there. Father Peter was always on our side. He was always on our side. You know, Pastor Charles was telling me that before he died, in one of his last encounters with him, Father Peter asked him, how many churches you all got now? And then Pastor Charles said, about 150. He said, you know, I have some shares in that, right? Yeah, you know I have some shares in that, right? Yeah, and he's right. He has shares in everything we have done. Because we were looking everywhere. We used to meet in a place called Show World Center. It was an adult store. Yeah, they were, when we were meeting right on top of them, you see. And there were two doors. One, when you go to the place, there's one that led to the Show World Center down there, and another one that led to the elevator. Right. Okay. So there was one that led to the Show World Center, led to the elevator, which would take you upstairs. Now, sometimes when we invite people to come to church, we just give them the address. And if you're not careful to say, use the door on the right, you know, then they come to the address and there are two doors and they just choose the one on the left, you know, and when they walk in there, they see all these ladies, just naked ladies. And the church was sitting right on top of it, you know. Sometimes when we went for all night, we'd go for all night on Fridays, then at some time of the night, they close the front door, and the only way out of the building is through the Show World Center. I tell you. So when we close from all night after people have been praying for all night, then we now have to come through. We have to go inside, I tell you. And once you start walking in there, then the ladies will start to call you, hey, coach. It's just horrible. You say, I rebuke you. So Father Peter is the one who rescued us from that situation. You know, he said, go and tell this woman I will meet. I said she should give you space to meet over there. And that was it. And we were there for the most part of, 20 years maybe? Yeah. It's a long time. And the church was established because of him. You know, now I saw his funeral. I was telling you, the whole city came to a standstill. New York City came to it. It's like the pastor, they called him New York City's pastor. He was a Catholic father who had died. You know, and everybody was there. The mayor of the city was there, the fire department, the police department, everybody was there. You know, and this is just a simple priest. You know, as a Catholic priest, he didn't have a wife, didn't have any kids or anything. Just a simple, ordinary person. And yet, he is the one that God honors so greatly. Hallelujah. As long as you seek the Lord, don't be surprised if you become famous. Don't be surprised if a lot of people know you. And a lot of people know your name. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Well, then, so many other things. Let me just quickly mention the rest to you, okay? And we'll close. Next one is that he strengthened himself. Can you see that? As long as he sought the Lord, he strengthened himself. As long as he sought the Lord, he strengthened himself exceedingly. So you will strengthen yourself exceedingly as you seek the Lord. Amen. You become a stronger Christian as you serve the Lord. When you serve the Lord, you don't have time to backslide. Do you get it? Yeah. Or when you slide out of a higher place. Do you understand? So even when you are backsliding, it's like it's like someone driving in the far left lane. You know, even when they veer off, they come into the middle somehow. But when you're on the outskirts and you're on the far right lane, when you veer off, you're just straight into the ditch. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So when you are serving the Lord, yes, you may have some days when your prayer life will change a little bit. Your word life will change a little bit, but even sometimes serving the Lord itself, especially those who have to teach others and lead others and so on, you find that that itself has a way of keeping you working and keeping you alive and helping you. Are you getting it? You are so occupied with looking after other people that you don't have time to backslide yourself. So you will be strengthened. Amen. Next one, it says, he built towers in the desert. You know, he built towers. Who builds towers in a desert? Means that you will do great things where it is impossible. Or where others find it impossible, you will do great things in that place. Hallelujah. And another one, he had a host of fighting men. This speaks about people coming to your help. People coming to your aid, people supporting you, helping you, and fighting for you as long as you seek the Lord. Amen. And then one more, another one, is that he made engines invented by cunning men. He created engines. So seeking the Lord will make you creative. Hallelujah. It will make you creative. You will do things, you wonder how someone like you can be associated with such things. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then the last one is that he was marvelously helped. Alright, verse 15, it says, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Hallelujah. So here is someone who sought the Lord, and as long as he sought the Lord, his life took on a certain shape. Amen. As you seek the Lord, God is going to help you. God is going to bless you. God will make you famous. God will send help to you. God will send people who will stand and fight for you. There will be people who will speak for you. When people are talking behind your back, when you're not there in the office and people attempt to slice you and, cut you off by the different things they would seek to say, you'd be surprised how God will raise up people to speak for you. People to speak in your defense. Amen. People who say, no, I don't think so. When someone says, let's fire her, you see someone will rise up and say, no, I find her very useful, I find her very useful. Useful to me. And the one who will be saying useful to me is the one who has the clout and whose opinion matters. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to seek the Lord. Amen. Because it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes, everybody, and just ask the Lord to help you to seek Him properly and to serve Him properly, because it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you and say, Lord, thank you for the opportunity you have given me to be one of those who seeks you. Help me, Lord, to do it diligently. Help me to do it well. Help me to seek you and to serve you properly, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing. 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 Thank you. There is nothing like seeking God. There is nothing like serving God, like promoting His interests and promoting His cause. There is nothing we do that can compare with seeking you, Lord. And I pray and thank you tonight for the opportunity to be known as a servant of God. Thank you for not restricting that title only to pastors and priests and prophets, but that ordinary people, students, businessmen, all sorts of workers from all walks of life, people from every background, can also carry the title a servant of God. And thank you for that great privilege to be associated with you as servants. We thank you for your blessing, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, Amen. Amen.